You may remember last week, if you were here, and for those that you weren't, you'll wish you had been. But last week, we talked about the parable of the 10 virgins, okay? And that was in the beginning of Matthew 25, and that had to do with making sure that we were waiting correctly for the Lord, the return of the Lord, and that our inward spiritual life was correct and prepared. Today we are looking at the second half of Jesus' teachings in chapter 25. He came right out of the parable of the virgins and went right into this parable of the talents and rewards. And the question is burning on your hearts, I'm sure, is why? Where is he going with this? Well, this is because part of having a well-prepared internal spiritual life is being active externally in the work of the Lord. We can't keep what's inside right if we're not working for the Lord on the outside. Okay, you're still confused. Let's go a little further. Let's look at what's going on in our scripture today. We have a master that's preparing to leave. We don't know for how long. He's just preparing to go out of town. Before he goes, he must be sure that the affairs of his business will be taken care of while he's gone. So he decides, well, I can do this one of two ways. I can make my confidential slaves my agents and commit them to tilling my land and give them the talents to buy and trade with. Or I can take my money to the money changing and money lending system, which has been in place and introduced by the Phoenicians and is up and running all over Rome. Which do I do? Well, as we see, the master picked the first choice. And he decides to charge his slaves with taking care of his affairs. He gives each of them some talents according to what they can handle. By the way, talents comes from the word talentos. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I may not be. And in those days, it referred strictly to money. Okay? And a talent was about 350 pounds or $1,000, a little more than $1,000, which was a lot of money in those days. And for some of us, that's still a lot of money. The master then leaves for quite a while. He gets it all set up, gets his slaves all in order, and then he takes off and goes on his trip. When he returns, he checks with each of the slaves to see how they did with what he had given them. Two of them, as we see, doubled what he gave them. But one of them didn't make a thing. He hid his because he was afraid of the master. And nothing was accomplished with it. Now I ask you, does that make any sense? It doesn't to me, because not only did he not make any money for his master, he didn't make anything for himself. You say, what do you mean? Well, in those days, it was customary that if a slave was out bartering and selling and trading for his on behalf of his master and using his master's money, that he always made a little bit on the side for himself. You know, see, they were slick back then too. So not only did he not make anything for his master or increase his master's wealth, he didn't make anything on the side for him. Also, in those days, it was custom that when you, as a slave, when you went out and did your master's work and spent his money and traded and bartered, when you came back with whatever you made, whatever profit, you were rewarded. Yeah, maybe if you came back with a negative amount, you might not be, but as long as you came back with some sort of profit or interest made on the initial amount that he gave you, you were rewarded. So this guy that buried his one talent, he just blew it all the way around. Anyway, as usual in that day, the master increased the talents and responsibility of the first two, which was a great honor and reward. And the third he kicked out onto the street. You say, well, that's a lovely story, a lovely parable, but what does that have to do with the disciples that Jesus is preaching to, or for that matter, us? Well, that's a good question. And the answer is that in the parable, the master represents Jesus Christ. And the slaves represent the disciples and us. Christ has given us talents according to what we can handle. Now, in this sense, talents could be wealth, like it was referred to in the old days. But also in the English language, we've come to know talents as the gifts and graces that the Lord has given us. That's why you hear people say, oh, you're pretty talented. They could be poor monetarily, but have lots of gifts. You know. So just what are these talents, these gifts and graces that God or that Christ has given us to do his business with? That's a good question. What has he given us to go out and do his work with, to trade with? Well, it's the complete revelation that God himself has given in the Bible. It's the glorious gospel of redeeming love and grace. It's the spiritual gifts to the church that Paul writes about. It's the faith committed to the saints. And it's the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit, which each one of us receive. Jesus has given us these so we can go out and do and conduct his business while he's gone. And just in case there's some question in your mind as to what business it is that Jesus is in, he's in the harvesting business, harvesting souls, making disciples. Kind of a farmer, like Chris. So how do we know when to begin using these talents? When do we know when to start using them? That's a good question. If we look at Matthew 25:16-17, it says, two of the slaves went about their master's business right after he left. Or basically, as soon as they received those talents, they went right to work. In other words, they didn't know how long their master was going to be gone. And it doesn't tell us in the Bible how long he was gone. They didn't know how long his trip is. Masters weren't in the habit of, you know, disclosing such things to their slaves. But because they started immediately, they gained 100% profit for their master. They didn't wait around. They didn't bury it. The slave with only one talent could have earned just as much. He could have earned 100% profit on the one talent that he had he taken it out and gone and done what he was supposed to. But because he buried it, he gained nothing. In the same way, we are supposed to take what the Lord has given us and increase it for his glory. In other words, look at it this way. Having received grace, has growth been ours in grace? Has our desire for prayer been intensified as we walk with the Lord? Is our hope more firm and real than when we first became a Christian? Have earlier aspirations ripened? Have our spiritual influence and results in service multiplied? If we're out using the gifts that have been given to us according to the Lord's will, then our answer to these questions would be yes. By the same token, if we're not using the gifts, if we've kept them buried, we're not using the talents, then the answers would be no. And we would fall in the group with the one slave that didn't do anything with his talents. Now, I need to be clear at this point that if we use the talents the Lord has given us for our glory and our honor, and it can happen. We've seen people that do that. You know, it's easy to slip into that. We got these gifts and graces and we start using them and people say, oh, you're so wonderful. And you say, yes, I know. I have these gifts and talents and I'm wonderful. And if we start using them for our own honor and glory, then we're operating under the wrong motive. And nothing will be accomplished. We may think it is, but nothing will be accomplished. Therefore, we must be careful that our motives are pure and not pious. That's the danger. Using the talents under pious motives would probably be worse than not using them at all. You know, it'd be going out and representing ourselves and using the gifts and graces that God's given us for our own behalf. I mean, that to me sounds worse than not using them at all. So we need to be careful about that. Speaking of not using them, let's look at the slave that received the one talent. Here's the real tragedy of this parable. He was so afraid of losing his master's talents, he wrapped them up in a handkerchief and buried them. It's important to point out that it was not his, but his master's. Just as the gifts and graces and talents that God gives each one of us are not ours, they're the Lord's. And when this slave did not use the talents that his master gave him, he was not only lazy, but he was also in disobedience to his master. And you say, why? Well, in those days, it was custom that if the master gave you money or gave you something to go out and barter and trade and do his business with, you were supposed to go and do it and not just hoard it for yourself. And he didn't do that. And he knew he was supposed to go out and at least try to make some kind of profit. And as we remember back in the scripture, the master even says, well, at least why didn't you take it to the bank? I could have made a little interest. You know? So he was disobedient. He knew what the rules were. He knew what he was supposed to do, and he was disobedient. You know, doesn't this slave, this servant, sound a lot like many nominal Christians today who have all the outward privileges of the gospel but who never think of using and improving their opportunities to share them with others? I mean, any talent they have is buried. To them, the mercy of God is rendered of no effect. For folks like this, there is little desire for growth in spiritual things, for the Word of God, and for the soul saving witness. And surely any light that they have is hidden under a bushel. For those of you who were here last week, remember we talked about that light that we need to keep burning inside of us. Well, it doesn't do any good if we got that light burning real bright, but we got to cover over it where nobody can see it. God wants us to take that light and shine it out into the world, to be a light in the world. God expects us to use the gifts and graces that He has entrusted us with to increase them for His glory. Remember the old saying, you either use it or lose it. The Lord gave us these talents and gifts and graces to be used, not to keep them buried inside of us. Just like the slave in the parable, if we don't use what has been given to us, we are not only lazy, but we're disobedient to the Lord. Let me say that again. That's pretty powerful. If we don't use what the Lord has given us for His work and His will, then we are not only being lazy, we're being disobedient to Him. Let me put it this way. When we give of our time and talents and money to the work of the Lord, He rewards us by increasing what He has given to us. The more we use what the Lord has given us, the more our faith increases, the stronger our gifts of the Spirit, and the greater the opportunities for the working of the kingdom. And it's even true with our finances as well. Janine and I have seen this in our own giving, and I don't say this as a bragging, I offer this as a teaching. Please take it that way. Up until earlier this year, Janine and I were like everybody else. We gave when we had a little extra, which wasn't very often. We always waited till all the bills were paid, everything else we needed to do was done, and then we looked to see what was left in the checking account. And you all know how that goes. Nada. And around June of this year, the Lord got on both of us and said, you're not giving the right way. And we said, okay. And He really convicted Janine over it. I had to give her credit for that. And she came to me and she said, you know, we need to start giving 10% of each of our paychecks, and we need to give it before we pay the bills. We need to give it before we go and buy the groceries. And when we started doing that, even though we were a little bit worried because we're human beings and we thought, okay, I'm doing this. Am I going to have enough to get all the way through? Amazingly, every time, am I telling the truth? Every time that we're faithful and give that way, we always seem to have enough to make it through the month. The bills get paid, the groceries get bought, and we really don't do without. That's what God is talking about. And it's not only with finances, it's with our gifts and graces. The more we use the talents that He's given us to go out and reach other people, the more He increases those talents. The stronger our faith becomes. The stronger our witness becomes. And the more opportunities that He puts our way to witness for Him. I didn't realize that that's how that worked either for a long time. You know, saying, God, give me some opportunities to witness to people. And He slapped me on the head and saying, I'm already giving you some and you're not doing it. Get out there and do it and I'll give you more opportunities. Because one day, Christ is going to return. And He's going to have His account book open with all our names in it. And He's going to take an accounting of what He's given to us. And He's going to ask us, well, how did you do with what I gave you? And the question we need to ask ourselves today is, what is our answer going to be to that? Is it going to be, well, Lord, look here, I did good and I've increased, I've doubled or tripled what you've given me. And you'll say, great, oh, good and faithful servant. Wonderful. Bless you. Or is our answer going to be, well, Lord, I was kind of afraid, you know, that, you know, I might mess it up. So it's been kept right here buried inside in my heart. You know, what you gave me, it's right here safe and secure. What's our answer going to be? That's what we need to be thinking about today. Maybe we've unburied some of our talents. Many of you are using some talents that you have to witness about the Lord and to serve your Lord. And that's wonderful. That's great. But there's something that I found out as when I started going into ministry is there's a whole bunch more talents that the Lord's given us that we've been afraid to unpack. We find one talent and we get comfortable with it and we say, this is what God's given me to do. And I'm here to tell you, if you're stuck in that rut, it's time to unpack the rest of your talents and get them out, find out what they are. And start using them for the Lord. He's given us many, many talents. Many, many gifts and graces. And He's given them to us to use. So start today, unpack them. Find out what your gifts and graces are. And be ready for a life-changing experience, because it's a trip, but it's a lot of fun. Will you pray with me?